This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism. Hashtag podcast. Hashtag broad. On Joy 94.9.
This is Sonia for Broad on Joy 94.9. Here on Broad, we want to spread ourselves, spread our wings a bit, expand a bit, find out what is going on with other necks in other parts of the woods. And when it comes to women and the concerns of women and initiatives and issues to do with women, and on a government level too, what are the sort of things that are happening in other places in Australia? Now in New South Wales, they have an initiative called Women NSW, at Women NSW. If you want to tweet, check them out. And I have Maria Toomey on the phone talking to us about that today. So Maria, welcome to Broad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
The idea is for Broad that we broaden ourselves as much as possible. And the thing was, we were lacking, some of that input from other parts of Australia. So when I saw this come up in my Facebook feed and my social media, I thought, oh, good, that sounds really interesting and really, really important. So Maria, firstly, what is Women New South Wales about?
Women New South Wales is the New South Wales government's unit that's responsible for coordinating and developing women's policy and strategy across the New South Wales government. Mm-hmm. So as a unit, we report to Prue Goward, who's the New South Wales Minister for Women and the Minister for the Prevention of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. Women New South Wales itself is not a new initiative. We've mm-hmm. been around for quite some time. First, as the Department of Women in New South Wales, then we were known as the Office for Women's Policy. Okay. And I think we've been known as Women New South Wales from about 2012 onwards.
Mm-hmm. I see.
So our work is currently focused on important women's issues, mostly in violence against women, specifically domestic violence and domestic and family violence and sexual assault. Mm-hmm. But we also focus on other women's issues, such as women's economic opportunity, for instance.
Right, okay. So here we go. It's obviously a little bit of a makeover, I suppose, without being rude. So it's certainly sort of standing out a lot more in recent times. And I guess the concerns with violence against women, sexual assault, domestic violence and those sorts of areas has generated more interest, would you say?
Absolutely. I think obviously women's issues and violence against women has in recent years gotten much more profile in New South Wales and nationally as well, which is a great thing. It's an opportunity for everyone who works in this field to really try and make a difference when there's national attention on such an important issue.
Yes. And you yourself, what's your role exactly in Maria there?
So I'm a project director for domestic and family violence reforms. Mm-hmm. So New South Wales has just gone through a public consultation process to develop the next stage of domestic and family violence reforms, which will be launched publicly in August, after which we'll start implementing new initiatives. And so I'm the project director of that that particular part of the portfolio.
Okay. And when you speak of new initiatives, what are the sort of things that you'll be, rolling out, putting through?
So we're continuing to build on a number of different reforms that have gone on in New South Wales in the last 5 years. One of our most successful initiatives is called Safer Pathway. And it's an initiative that provides assistance and sort of a coordinated referral pathway for victims of domestic and family violence so that they no longer have to go and seek out assistance themselves. Services proactively make referrals and contact the victim and also assess the level of threat of further violence that the victim or survivor of violence might be at. So we're continuing to roll that out across the state to make sure everyone in New South Wales is covered, and we're also looking at other initiatives such as the Domestic Violence Disclosure Scheme, which is relatively new. It was launched in April in four locations, and it's the first of its kind in Australia, so we're really, really enthusiastic about trialling it and see how it works in Australia. In essence, the Domestic Violence Disclosure Scheme is a scheme that helps people who think they could be at risk of domestic violence, and it's a way for people to find out if their current or former partner has a history of violent criminal offences. So it's a way for women to seek information about their current or former partner if they are starting to feel unsafe in a relationship. So at the moment, it's available in four regions in New South Wales, and we're trialling it out in those regions, and it will be evaluated and see if we can actually then roll that out statewide afterwards.
Right. Wow, that's sounds very interesting. And also, I guess, it echoes some of the organisations that we've come across here in Victoria. There's the Safe Steps people, Safe Steps Family Violence Response Centre, and they have some initiatives there that to do with family violence, of course, and your safety and those sorts of programs, and a response service that's 24/7. So, interesting. Referral systems do sound like it's the way to go, certainly the future.
Yeah, it's certainly... It's early days for Safer Pathway, but we're getting very positive feedback. We can obviously always improve on what we're doing. So we're constantly seeking feedback, evaluating what we're doing. But previously, I think the problem has been that victims or survivors of violence have had to proactively make contact with services and repeatedly tell their story over and over again. And that can be, for someone who's experienced violence, a traumatising experience in itself.
Yeah, reliving
it. Exactly. So we're trying to make the services a bit more coordinated and to wrap around the victim themselves so that they don't need to go and repeat their story multiple times to different service providers so that they could seek assistance.
It's like doing those police reports if a person has witnessed something or experienced something. Having to do those police reports and they just keep asking you. I've had to do it myself with a situation of violence that I was involved in, and it's just daunting. I mean, I wasn't the direct victim, but even on the level that I was doing it as a close witness to a crime, it just really does your head in, and the hours that are spent and the recalls and come back in, you've got to remember things over and over again. It just puts you off and pushes you away from that discourse, I think, and from seeking. Sometimes, I'm not sure if this would happen to some people, perhaps it does, but not going to seek help through the justice system or police system.
Exactly.
Because of this constant bureaucracy that occurs.
So, we want to make sure that victims feel safe and they feel supported, and that the focus is really on them being able to feel safe and recover.
Yes, yeah. So altogether with your team that you have there, how much input do you all have, on the different schemes and how they become what they are?
So from our perspective, obviously domestic and family violence is an issue that cuts across the business of a number of different government agencies. And obviously there's a huge sector of non-government community organisations that work in this area and do really important work in this area as well. What we do is try and coordinate and develop some overarching policy to make sure that that our approach in New South Wales is as integrated and coordinated as possible, because it involves all those agencies that are in touch with families and with people throughout their life course. So it involves not only police and the justice system, but the health system, education system where there's children present, family and community services, social housing, all these different systems that come across people who may be experiencing violence or recovering from violence or indeed perpetrating violence. Our role in this is really trying to coordinate policy and service initiatives across all these different departments, and obviously the NGO sector that's on the ground delivering services on the coalface with victims and perpetrators as well.
Yeah, no, great. I think it's a really great thing to do. And
it's easier said than done.
Yeah, but you've got to have the things there, plant them and have them accessible. I guess it's access too, and if it's going to save that person all those issues and problems, that's the thing that we found when we spoke to someone who actually works at Safe Steps, but she herself has a 13-year history of violence that was against her, domestic violence for a partner who was abusive, and the 13 years of trouble that she had was after the relationship had ended. And she was one of the people that spoke at the Royal Commission, of course, and just amazing the journey she had to go through. And very similar thing, like if she had known more about this person's past, but also if she had had more access to, you know, referrals, I guess, as well, it probably would have saved many years of grief for her and her family.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's a lot more information available, not only about services, but about domestic and family violence in general. So a lot of people may be starting to realise that what they are in or what they have experienced in the past is indeed an abusive relationship. Domestic and family violence isn't all about, it's not always physical violence, it's not always black eyes and bruises or broken bones. And sometimes it takes a while for people to recognise that the pattern of abusive and controlling behaviour that they're experiencing in their relationship is indeed violence, and that they can seek help.
We find that too for our community, for the LGBTIQA community, for the queer community. There are different, there's very similar things, but it's an area that hasn't had, until recently, hasn't had as much focus, the violence that can happen in queer and, you know, lesbian and gay relationships.
And it's an issue that cuts across all communities. It's not just just a women's issue, and I think it's useful to point out that although obviously the majority of domestic and family violence is violence against women, it's not always that, and that it permeates across society. So it's not just against women, and it's not dependent on your background, or it's not dependent on your socioeconomic status necessarily. It really is an issue that is pervasive in Australia, and we really need to work hard to change that.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it's great, the sort of initiatives that you're taking here. It's good to see that. We'll have to go around the country now and find out from state to state what is happening in support of women, and particularly this disclosure scheme and how that works. Well, if it's a person, for example, if the abuser is someone that currently is in New South Wales, but say they're from Queensland, what is the access to any information about that person currently? What are the, you know, legislatively, what can be done?
So in New South Wales, it's possible for, because it's being trialled in certain areas, as long as the person making the inquiry is in those areas, they have access to that information. So it doesn't mean that the person they suspect of having a violent history or that they're concerned about doesn't need to be confined geographically to those locations.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And it also, So the scheme is actually open to more people than the victims or potential victims themselves. Mm-hmm. So a person who might be concerned about their friend or family member or someone they work with can also make that inquiry.
Okay.
So they're able to go to a police station, and with the help of a support service, they're able to say, "I have concerns about my friend or my daughter or my son and the person that they're involved in," and they can make an application to find out about a person's criminal history.
Wow. Okay. Is that in any other states, or as far as you know, it's just New South Wales at the moment?
As far as I know, New South Wales is the first one in Australia to launch this. There is a similar scheme in place in the UK, which obviously when developing the domestic violence disclosure scheme in New South Wales, we looked at in terms of how that was developed and took some lessons learned from that to make sure that we can make our scheme the best possible scheme for New South Wales. But as far as I know, it doesn't exist elsewhere in Australia yet.
Wow. Okay. It'll be really interesting to see how it goes. How did the one in the UK, how was that one panning out? Do we know much?
We know that's slightly different. It's slightly different. It doesn't have... So the opportunity for third parties or other people to make an application doesn't exist in the UK.
Okay.
And we felt that that was an important addition for our scheme, simply because sometimes the people who we are concerned about don't realise or don't see the threatening signs in their relationship, or in fact they're not ready to reach out for help. So this is an opportunity for other people who are concerned about people they know to see if they indeed possibly are in danger, and to be able to connect a person with support services.
Right. Has there been much feedback or response to it yet, on what people think, or they're using it?
The idea has been broadly supported. It comes with, so it's not only an opportunity to go to a police station and put in an application. It comes with automatic support from a local NGO service that specialises in domestic and family violence.
Mm-hmm.
So they can offer crisis support. They can offer access to counselling. They can offer information about other support services. So it doesn't matter if it's the third party making the application or if it's the person who's indeed concerned about their own safety who's making the application. So that information is available, and that assistance is available to everyone who tries to access the scheme.
Mm. Wow, amazing, amazing, incredible.
We'll have to wait and see how it goes. We're very excited, but hopefully it will produce some good results.
Yes, excellent. And for all our listeners that are in New South Wales, there you go. You have something that, an initiative that is going to, opinion-wise, will have very positive outcomes, we hope.
Great. Yeah, we certainly hope it'll be a positive outcome for people as well.
Excellent. Well, Maria, I have taken up a lot of your time, but I've just been, really engaged and very interested in what's going on in New South Wales, and Women New South Wales in particular. What's the best way for people to find out more, go online, that sort of thing? What do you suggest?
In terms of what Women New South Wales do, you can obviously always go online to our website, which is simply women.newsouthwales.gov.au. If you're seeking more information about domestic violence or about the disclosure scheme, there's a lot of that available online simply by Googling the domestic violence disclosure scheme.
Yeah.
For anyone seeking assistance, there's obviously a number of helplines available. In New South Wales, we have the domestic violence line, obviously there's the national line 1800 Respect that can offer information and referrals to other services and access to counselling and those sorts of things. And it's always obviously important to remember that anyone, you know, if anyone feels in danger, they should call 000.
Yep. Of course, yeah, or if they know someone who is or they're witnessing something, certainly.
Exactly.
000. Now, this is something I didn't know just about the 000. You can actually text, I believe, while in Victoria. I was in a situation where I couldn't speak, but I had to call a 000. I just couldn't, you know, and I believe that goes straight through and they connect with your phone, but I'm not sure what happens in New South Wales.
That's very interesting. I have to look into that. I didn't know if, didn't know about that myself.
I didn't know about it until I had to use it. And I was like, because I was in a situation where if they'd heard my voice, it could have been, could have got nasty. So that's something I found out through experience. I just hope that that is nationwide, but I'll look into that myself, actually.
Yeah, I mean, all these things that technology can do to obviously increase
safety and
exactly
it's very important. Excellent.
It is.
All right, look, thank you so much, Maria, for speaking to us. Maria Toomey.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, and keep listening to Broad, and we'll go, I think we'll go around the country now and try and find out all the things that are happening and there to protect and keep women safe and their families, and what initiatives that government are doing, because I think that's very important, because of course it is the, you know, the government, the powers that be, that do project what is the right thing to do, and people still do take that as a step towards some action, I suppose. A responsibility type of thing.
There's a lot of interesting things happening around around Australia, both within, you know, within states and territories, but also at the national level in this area.
True indeed. All right. Look, thank you so much for speaking to us on Broad, Maria.
Not a problem. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this Broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune into us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.